This week, I learned that the PlayStation Store is still available for PSPs, PS Vitas, and PS3s, which makes Sony way more legacy-compatible than any other console manufacturer, at least until this summer. On a related note, if you still have a PSP or PS Vita, please check its battery. There were reports of battery swelling sometime back, and now is still as good a time as any to make sure that yours hasn't. Swelling batteries are an awful chemical and or fire hazard. This is one story of the gaming world that was. Join your hosts, Rob Roberts, Jamie Summers, and Loki for more on this and the rest of the week's gaming news, starting right now on the show, where every gamer has a voice.
Hello, my friends out there on the internet. Welcome back. It's another week of the show where every gamer has a voice. It is Orange Lounge Radio, and we are live once again here with episode number 862 of our show for this March the 28th of 2021. My name is Rob Roberts, and sadly not joining me tonight, Dark Sakura or Jamie Summers. She is not here. Good news and bad news. The good news is she got the vaccine yesterday. She got her first shot. She got the Pfizer shot. And so that's great news. The bad news is she's having some side effects where she's kind of headachy and fatiguey. So she thought it would be best that she sit tonight's show out. But again, you know, even though there are side effects to the vaccine, sometimes people get them, sometimes people don't, we would still always encourage you to get the vaccine and help us end the COVID pandemic, because whatever she's going through right now is certainly a lot better than actually having COVID itself. So anyway, say hello as well, joining me every week on the show, Techmaster Loki.
Hello.
Hi, Loki.
Hey, how's it going?
Good. What's the game playing behind you tonight? I'm trying to figure it out, and it's I can't see the main character very well, so I'm having a hard time telling what it is.
Well, I'm sure if you just looked at the enemies, you'd figure it out.
I can't see the enemies. They're not showing. Oh, it's too far away for me to really make them out.
Well, it's Enter the Gungeon.
Oh, it is Enter the Gungeon. Okay, nice. Is that a selection due to the PlayStation, whatever they're calling it, stay at home and we'll give you free games thing that's going on right now?
No, it's because I was going to do Katamari because I had the shirt on, but then I realized I'd already done that. So
gotcha.
I figured I'd do Enter the Gungeon.
Well, that's okay. If you didn't say you'd already done it, nobody probably would have picked up on it. So, all right. Anyway, I do think it's kind of funny, though. I know we'd kind of like joked about it on the show previously, but it is kind of interesting that you got your Johnson & Johnson shot. I got my Moderna shot, and confirmed Jamie got the Pfizer shot this week. So we have one of each in the house.
It's the Holy Trinity.
Exactly. The Holy Trinity is complete. Anyway, I also want to say a big hello to everybody in our chat room, because we do tape live every Sunday night at the Voice of Geeks Network, twitch.tv/VogNetwork, every Sunday night at 6 o'clock Pacific, 9 o'clock Eastern, right after the Bobby Blackwell show. Bobby's in our chat right now saying, oh man, I totally forgot to remind everyone, it's close to the end of the month, so check your data cap and download Game Pass games or the Play at Home games before the end of the month. Very true point. I know for myself, I want to pre-download. Hopefully I have the bandwidth for it. I should, but we're cutting it close now that Alan's doing the streaming all the time. I want to get the Outriders pre-installed before it unlocks on the 1st. If I can fit that into this month's bandwidth, that would be great. Is that a game that's on your radar at all, Loki?
No.
Oh. Well, that's too bad. Is there anything upcoming that's on your radar?
Not really, no, actually.
Off the radar is Mario. And I think this is really funny where the internet's going with this, because, you know, this is the week. We're just days away from what the internet is now calling the death of Mario, or Mario's execution. Because of course, Mario 35 is getting pulled. Super Mario All-Stars 3D is getting pulled. And, you know, all those limited time games are going to disappear as of March the 31st, because Nintendo done told you it's limited and they meant it. Unless you had a retail code, those will still continue to work past March 31st.
Yeah, like, I don't know. I already have them, so it's fine. I didn't really play Mario 35 too much, but the other ones I already have, so... In fact, we actually picked up because, like I said, my kids were, as we mentioned, I think it was last week, we were talking about Shane, the shiny hunter in Pokemon Journeys.
Yes.
So since my kids have been watching that every time they go over to the grandmother's house, I went ahead and picked up Pokemon Sword for my son so he can play through the campaign that's basically shown off in the show. So
I'm sure our own shiny hunter Shane would approve of that purchase.
Yeah. So, yeah, I don't know, but yeah, the Mario stuff that we've already gotten all of that. So it's not a big deal. It's still stupid though.
I have to say, I was able to hold the line and I never bought Mario 3D All-Stars, and I'm totally okay with that decision. I did play a little bit of Mario 35 and I enjoyed that. I'm a little less irritated with that one because I can also kind of understand how the audience for that game was probably going to fade pretty quick. I think it would soften the blow an awful lot if Nintendo would announce some sort of replacement. And I'm not saying it has to be Zelda 35, but some type of, you know, Nintendo Online Pass or whatever game to sort of lessen the burn of losing the game that we're losing, I think would really make people maybe a lot less angry. I don't know.
Yeah, I think that would help, but like, I don't know why they're doing it in the first place. And I think it's kind of funny is one of the things that was on there that is limited or quote unquote limited was that Plane Watch handheld thing. And the local Target that I go to, they've got like stacks of those.
Really?
I mean, they were flying off the shelf at one time, but now they've got like at least 10 of them. So
interesting.
I always look at them like, nah, I don't want it. So, but yeah, somebody does, and they're out there.
I'm kind of with the break man in chat. Ugh, that thing is so overpriced. Although I did see a comment from Tiger Claw earlier where he ran out and got one. So again, it's all about what do you want to spend your money on. You know, I buy a lot of these little tiny collectible. Actually, I have one sitting right here. I buy a lot of these tiny collectible arcade cabinets, and some would say this is a waste of money, especially when I leave it in the box like this. But I love these things, and they're about a third of the price of that Mario Game & Watch thing. But I'd be lying if I said I wasn't tempted by the Mario Game & Watch, but I suppose Nintendo's going to make that decision for me when they murder Mario on in just 3 days. Dawn of the Mario is Dead Day. 72 hours remain, right?
Yep. We're right around the corner. So if you do want to get them, then you probably should get them. Yes. Or, you know.
Yes, I will be. And look, actually, ironically, I'm wearing a Mario shirt tonight, but I will be taking it off in 3 days, not on stream. And we can all be thankful for that. But I will be taking it off in 3 days because Mario will be dead. And so I can't really wear this shirt that I've had for years and years anymore because Nintendo has decided not only is the year of Mario over, but Mario products must be over with it because that. That's how we celebrate with murder.
Like Zelda now? Is it the year of Zelda?
No, Loki, it's the year of nothing. It's the year of silence. It's the year of another Nintendo Indies announcement, I'm sure, in the coming weeks. Which I don't mean to shade the indie thing, but I'm just saying that like Nintendo is, you know.
They'll probably just announce their brand new system and that they're going to have those games be pack-ins or something for that or some ridiculous thing.
That actually would be like, I'd be so irritated, but I would also laugh. But I think there's a lot more people who would be extremely irritated if come June they announce a bundle and they're like, it's the Mario Celebration bundle, comes with 3D All-Stars already installed on the system.
No, it would be like, yeah, what was it, the one that they yeah. Did they ever like add what was it? It was Galaxy 2. Was that ever like DLC or anything? I can't remember. I don't think it was.
No.
So I would have got that.
No.
Yeah.
No.
But like,
Nintendo
yeah,
has thrown Galaxy 2 in the trash. Game of the Year Galaxy 2 is in the dumpster out back in Redmond.
Right. No. Yeah. No. So yeah, I could see them doing something stupid like that, re-releasing it again. I don't know. It's just like, it's just funny because they can't manage their supply chain as it is. And now they're like not managing their digital supply chain, which really doesn't exist. I mean, mm-hmm. It's infinite, but somehow it's not.
I know it's very interesting because Nintendo has a lot of problems with their physical supply chain. So clearly the answer is to limit their digital supply chain.
I don't understand how they think that it's going to like devalue those things because like all their games never go on. I mean, like they hardly ever go on sale. It's frustrating because like, some of the stuff that's out there, it really should go on sale. Like Mario Tennis doesn't need to be a $60 game several years after it's come out. I mean, like it can drop in price. It's fine. It's just they demand $60 for their games forever. And no, no, thank you.
I'm curious I'm curious in chat, how would you guys feel? Because some of you did. I only want to hear from the people that purchased Mario All-Stars, of which there's several of you. How would you feel if Nintendo this June confirms this Super Nintendo Switch, whatever you want to call it, the 4K Switch, whatever, it's all a rumor anyway, and as part one of the launch titles for the Switch is going to be a 4K version of Mario 3D All-Stars with Galaxy 2. How would you feel about that? Would you be happy because, yay, Mario's back from the dead? Or would you be pissed off because I spent $60 on what? I'd be curious. Okay, I'm looking in chat. Sacred Jade says, I'd still buy it. Okay. We'll see. I'm waiting for other comments to come in here. There's a little bit of a delay between the time we say things and the time our chat room sees them there. So, Pixel Pacas in chat. I love the honest answer. Pixel Pacas in chat says, I would buy it and feel like a clown.
Perfect. Well, especially like right after, like,
there is a clown Mario to go with your
turned
feelings.
Around and just like re-release it. Not even like 6 months after, it's like, oh, we took it off the market, but now we took it, brought it back. Like, I don't see the point. I don't get why it's limited. Like the Mario 35, I understand because, you know, network resources and stuff like that. But a game you've literally produced, why are you not offering that anymore? Like, that is stupid. Like, you could do like limited time DLC or something like that. Like they did with Smash Brothers. Hey, we're going to throw in this piece of DLC. You get a free Piranha Plant character if you purchase it within the first, you know, month or so. Like, that makes sense. Yeah. But just like, oh, well, you didn't buy it within the time frame. Well, we're just going to take it off the market. You should have bought it because you belong to our Nintendo cult. You buy all the things. Like, it's stupid. Like, it's absolutely stupid. Especially like let's just look at COVID and stuff. Like, not everybody has like a lot of resources to buy these games. And what if someone actually wanted to buy one, but they're waiting to get their tax refund back or something like that? It's like, oh, sorry, too late. Mm-hmm. Too late for that, you know.
Nintendo doesn't accept stimulus money. They only accept tax refunds.
No, I don't get it. Whatever. You know what? It's fine. They can make their own business decisions, I guess, but like I don't get it. I don't understand the basis of it.
I don't either. Some other comments in chat. It seems like generally across the board, people are like, I hate it, but I'd still buy it, which is, I'm not dragging anyone, but this is the way many gamers approach
this
Nintendo.
Is why they
I
do
hate
what they
it,
do because
but I
they
buy
know,
it.
They know that, like, they're all, what are you going to do about it? All right, you know, we can do whatever we want. You don't like the decision, but you're still going to do it anyways. You're still
no,
gonna
I'm
buy
not,
it,
Loki.
So
I did it.
What are you going to do?
I did it, Loki. I stuck with my decision. I want a star.
Yeah, but you're one person, and the majority.
No,
did, so.
SSG100 Matt did it too. We are two people. Thank you very much. All right.
Well, I guess that's it. Game over.
I
then.
Fucking showed two them, people. Didn't I? All right. SSJ100 Matt and I exist in a secret cult, and we meet biweekly on Saturdays. And in our cult, we believe that Mario is still alive. Even though Nintendo has killed him, Mario is secretly alive, and he's living on an island in the Bahamas, and he's A-okay. So that's where we're at.
They're just going to sell the collection as NFTs in, like, April, so it's fine.
I hate it. All right. Now I really want to change the topic. Let's get to our kickoff topic tonight. I don't know. You'd think that was it, but no, we just went off on something else. Loki, what do we really want to talk about at the start of tonight's show?
So let's talk about the significant change coming to Xbox Live. I mean, I'm sorry, Xbox Network. That's it. That's the change. They're just changing the name. So Xbox Live, it's gone. It's gone like Mario, and it's going to be now Xbox Network. So maybe that's what's happening. Maybe Mario is getting a brand new name, and so it's no longer Mario. It's going to be, you know, he's going to assign himself a new name. He'll be Mark now.
Look, Here, I really quick, because I'm getting dragged in chat, because Tiger Claw in chat says, knowing Rob, he'll buy that legendary edition of the Mass Effect trilogy. And Bobby Blackwolf says it's Mario, not Mass Effect. Look, I'm allowed to be a hypocrite on my own show if I want to be. And to quote RuPaul from this week's episode of Drag Race, and I apologize to the podcast listeners because you're not going to be able to hear this one, but if you saw the episode, you'll know what I'm talking about. Anyway, for you listeners, to quote RuPaul's Drag Race this week. Thank you. All right. Go ahead, Loki.
All right. So anyways, so the rebranding, basically, they're saying that Xbox Network is going to be what's going to be referred to as now. Refers to the underlying Xbox Online Services, which was updated in the Microsoft Service Agreement. And the update from Xbox Live to Xbox Network is intended to distinguish the underlying services from Xbox Live Gold memberships. That cool. You're calling it something else. Other than that, it doesn't seem to be changing much of anything. So that's it. It's just called something different now. And Xbox Network, I mean, I guess, I don't know. It doesn't have the same ring to it, but cool.
It really doesn't have the same ring as Xbox Live. Like, Xbox Live was kind of catchy. I don't know. To me, this kind of strikes me as like, what an interesting time to make a pivot. I would have thought that if they were going to be rebranding to Xbox Network, they might kind of do that as they're launching a new console. But it's also kind of one of those why now sorts of things. But I also sort of like get it based on the fact that, you know, Microsoft has set this goal for themselves where they are not necessarily a device in your living room, but they are a platform. They are a, you know, play. They are a delivery service for games. And, you know, Game Pass is really where they're putting a lot of their investment. So I think to maybe rebrand as Xbox Network kind of separates them from being something that is, you know, traditionally been a very console centric thing, because obviously Xbox is something that we are seeing on PCs as well. And we even see it on PlayStation and Nintendo Switch. What? Log into Minecraft Xbox Network account.
It's probably because, see, the reason they've got to rebrand it to Xbox Network is because the next console that they release, to keep in line with the confusion of their naming scheme, is they'll just call the next console the Xbox Live. And then that'll just kind of, you know, cap off the confusing console series that they've had so far with their naming. So that maybe that's what it's about.
I can also see, though, where, you know, maybe Microsoft is ready to distance themselves with some of the reputation that Xbox Live has had in the past, because I think we all have a horror story about playing a game on Xbox Live and getting called all sorts of names that are disgusting, and I'm not going to repeat them here on this lovely program that we have, especially on a Sunday. But maybe Microsoft wants to separate from that a little bit, although
I completely
those people
understand. I mean, look at how well that worked out for Comcast. I mean, Xfinity. That worked out so perfect. You know, they changed names. It's like, yeah, that Comcast, man, they sucked. But Xfinity, they still suck under a different name.
Oh, yeah. Netflix going to Quickster? No problem. Everybody will embrace it.
Quickster.
Okay, but
Quickster sounds like, you know, the flea market equivalent of The Flash. It's
which
just
is
like...
what you order on Wish when you order The Flash.
Yeah, the Wish version of The Flash.
Well, what's funny? Okay, but what's funny about that whole Quickster scenario is that fucking Netflix did it anyway. They just did it a year later and didn't call it. They ended up, they sold it to DVD.com, and I think it's even called like DVD Flix now. And there was an article I saw just this week about how the service sucks compared to what it used to be. Like, they used to have over like 10,000 DVDs on the service, and now there's not nearly as many. And for people that are super into like cult films, foreign films, old films, the really hard to find shit that never made its way to Blu-ray still, or digital still, it kind of sucks that that's fading, because that was the audience that was still using that, because you could find almost anything on that service. So it's just kind of interesting. Anyway, this wasn't supposed to be about Netflix. It's supposed to be about Xbox Live changing their name and why now to change their name. And will they be able to get away? Because yeah, I think I was just having a call with Bobby earlier tonight on his show, and I think I still called it Xbox Live. So I think this is going to take a little bit of time before we kind of get that name out of our mouths. I don't know. So what does Xbox Live Gold turn into? Xbox Network Gold? What's the plan there?
Well, I think it's still going to be Xbox Live. It just Live Gold doesn't make any sense now because there really isn't anything else. You don't have Live Silver anymore. It's just...
Well, and when are they going to just...
I don't know.
And when are they just going to get rid of Gold? I've been saying this for a long time. Like, what do you get with Gold? You get the free games and the ability to play online, although they're starting to dial that back because they were finally bullied into it by their user base. And honestly, I get it because, you know, the PlayStation wasn't charging online. Windows Store PC wasn't charging online. And so for things like Fortnite and that stuff. So, you know, Microsoft has finally retreated from that, at least for the free-to-play games. Although if you want to play, I don't know, Gears or whatever online, you're still going to have to pay for the Xbox Gold. Or... shit, I've been playing a lot of Dead by Daylight lately on Xbox Series X, and I have a Xbox Gold, thankfully, so I can still play online with strangers and get teabagged at the exit doors. So,
yeah, I don't know why they still charge for that, especially on the console. That doesn't make any sense, too, when you have, like, a lot of I don't know really why I got an Xbox Series X when you think about it, because they make a hard sell for, you know, buying their console in the first place. Most of their games are available on PC as well, and most people have a pretty decent PC. You don't have to pay for the same online service there, and it's just there's less exclusives that are like specifically console exclusives. They're always going to be console and PC, and so it's like they're like promoting not to buy their console. It doesn't make any sense. I just really wish they would get rid of that. But I get it. It's an income. It's a revenue stream, but it's just not something that they can charge on PC because people will be like, no, I'm just going to buy it from Steam or the Epic Game Store.
Yeah. I'm not really just a big fan in general of I lost my train of thought. Damn it. I was trying to read chat at the same time and I totally lost my train of thought. Anyway, go ahead.
But yeah, I mean, it's just, I don't know. I don't see the point of charging for it. I think it would be, you know, if they did want to charge for it, just like roll it into Games Pass and let that be its thing. Let just sell Games Pass, get rid of the Xbox Live Gold, and then have that, and then, you know, branch that out to other platforms as well. And I think you have a, you know, winning service there. But we're just not there yet, I think.
I will say that I enjoy my Xbox Series X. I don't regret that purchase in the slightest. The performance is so much better than the prior, you know, console. It really does feel like an upgrade. And I really enjoy playing games in the living room. But that's, you know, that also is just probably like my type of lifestyle. I imagine, Loki, when you try to play games in the living room, you get distracted a lot by, you know, the kids, the cat, the wife.
I can't. It's hooked up to my monitors here, so it's basically like playing on PC.
Okay, see, but that makes sense where it's like, well, why bother? So, but for me, I like to get out of my office and plop my big butt on the couch and, you know, play a game in there. Although now I'm having this whole thing where I'm like, as much as I've invested in Dead by Daylight to this point, I'm like, maybe I should get it on PC. That might be fun. I don't know. But then I'll just get dragged by chat all over again for buying multiple copies of the same game.
Does the DLC port over to, like, say, if you buy that through the Windows Store or something like that?
No. And it's so, well, okay, yes and no. Steam, the Switch, and one other. Oh, Stadia. Steam, the Switch, and Stadia all cross buy. So if you buy DLC on one, you get it on those others within that area. But all the rest, no. And I think it is stupid that it's not cross buy between Windows Store and Xbox. Why
it's
is that?
It the makes same
no
network,
sense. It is.
Yeah.
So that makes no sense to me. It's one of my big complaints about that game, to be honest. So, all right. So anyway, Xbox Live, now Xbox Network. We'll see how long it takes us to really adapt to that change name. And see, I guess in June, maybe we'll really start to see some of the marketing behind that. Whether there's an E3 or not, I imagine we're going to still start to see some of the push behind, you know, what Microsoft really plans to do with that branding and how they're going to propel it forward, which I imagine will have a lot to do with cloud gaming. I expect a lot with cloud gaming to come out of Microsoft this June. But that is, I'm not going to lie, that is exciting. So,
yeah.
All right. Let's move on and get into how was your gaming week and the types of games that you've been playing this week. Loki, how was your gaming week?
It's going to sound like a broken record. It's been the same stuff. So basically, you've been playing Minecraft, still watching lots of streamers. I've gone through several different Hermitcraft streamers and just watching their content, but I've been also working on this giant tree that's on our realm, and so working on that, it's very tedious. I can see why the guy Iscal, who does that actually in Hermitcraft, takes many breaks from it, because it gets very tedious and boring. So that's what I've been doing in Minecraft. I have been playing more Orna as well. And then also working on the special edition of Pixel Ploops 2. So I've put together like 6 new levels so far, and I've got 4 more at least I've planned out, because I wanted to bump each world up to 10. And then I've been trying to just polish like some of the code that's in there to try to get it to work how I wanted it to. And I may add another like whole world to it. I haven't decided yet. The problem is I'm like running out of like unique enemies or like things I can do with, since they don't really have a way, there's no projectiles or anything in the game, so it's hard to like make like a boss or like, you know, just different enemy types. It's just, aside from reskinning something, that's basically it, all I can really do with it. So I had originally planned, because I took 2 days off this week, I'd originally planned on splitting the sound engine to be able to allow for more music. But then I thought about it, and it's like, well, I've already like dumped like X number of dollars into the music itself, and clearly I'm not going to make that back. Clearly. So I was like, does it make sense to just dump more into it? I'm like, no, it doesn't. So that kind of got nixed. And also the guy that, like, you know, Cosmic Gem, you know, great music, but man, He can take a while to get stuff done. And so I didn't want to just like commission more music and have it take like several months. So I just didn't want to get in that scenario again. I just want to kind of be done with this. So I am at the very least going to have 10 more levels in there total. So I've got, you know, 6 of the 10. Probably going to get the other 4 done maybe tonight or so. And then I've already added like another, like there, you can play as female characters now. So that was something that I added like several weeks ago. So there's that. And I am going to change up continuing. So instead of continuing at the beginning of a world, it'll just be the level you died on, which I think is more fair. Although it makes the game easier. I may try to throw a hardcore mode in there to make it harder, to increase the rate of spawning, which would be easy enough to do. So there's stuff like that, and maybe an integrated manual as well. So that is just some of the stuff I was working on for that. But at the very least, I have levels done, so that's kind of cool. But yeah, that is basically what this week's been.
Be sure to check that out, listeners. Help Loki make some of his money back he spent on the music. It's Pixel Poops number 2 on itch.io, or also available on Steam with Pixel Poops as DLC. So check that out.
Yeah, and there's this other website that the folks behind Nestmaker are working on as well, that once they get it completed, it'll be nice to share it with you, because they have a really cool integrated, it's almost like a Steam Workshop for Nest ROMs, so it's pretty cool. Neat. And they actually have, one of the things that's coming with that is eventually, like, if I publish a game, they could actually take care of making the physical versions. So they pay you like a flat fee or whatever you want to charge for it, and then they manufacture and ship it out for you, which would be
nice.
Ideal. So in the future, that's like so early in development right now for that, but like that is something cool that's coming down the pipeline.
All right. Very cool. My gaming week, honestly, kind of like Loki, a lot of the same stuff. I've been continuing my adventures in Final Fantasy 14. I fell off the Orna wagon several weeks ago, though. I haven't really been playing a lot of that.
Yeah, I noticed that there's not been people, like, starting, the kingdom battles and stuff. I'm like, I don't know how to operate the bot, so I don't think I can do that.
Everybody should have the ability to do it now. If you don't, just yell at me and I'll
I know how to do it. I know how to start a new kingdom battle, but I don't know how to operate the bot. That's why I haven't been doing it. Otherwise,
you just
type
exclamation war
and
however much time is left, just scroll up and see what other people typed. It's the same format. It's like a template. Let's see. So otherwise, I have been playing more Pokemon Go. I almost have hit the experience I need for level 44 finally. But it's just the all the PvP battles I have to do is holding me back. So I'm probably going to be gated behind that by the time I have the XP for 44. But that's okay. It'll be by the time I get the XP for 45 when I really start to get irritated on that. I'm still playing a little bit of Ingress, allowing that to motivate a lot of my walking that I've been trying to do more of, because I gained too much weight through this pandemic process. So I'm trying to be a little more physically active to try to lose some of that before some of these in-person conventions start coming back. I've also been playing Dead by Daylight. As I mentioned a couple weeks on the show, I finally kind of started getting into that. Last week on the show, I'm sad she's not here to hear this, but Jamie and I had a follow-up conversation, and she was very adamant that I start playing Freddy Krueger as Killer. And you might remember she actually Apple paid me $5 so I could get the DLC for Freddy Krueger. Well, I actually paid $7 because I just got the little combo pack that has him and the Survivor and whatever other Friday the 13th crap came with it. And I got that, and so I've been playing. I did play my first game with Freddy as the Killer, and I got to say, he's really fucking fun. He's such a bitch. Like, he's such a little bitch to be playing against. I know survivors have got to hate him. But the whole, like, fact that they can't even really see you coming until you're already there unless they're in the dream world is a pretty nasty mechanic. And I love being able to port to the generators. It's great. He's such a little jerk. And I love his talent. One of them, he can actually shut the exit doors once they've been opened. As long as he hooks somebody, then the exit doors get shut for like 40 seconds. And people will try to run out thinking they can escape. And psych! So all those people that try to teabag you at the exit get fucked. And it's awesome. Because, I don't like killing anyone more than those people who teabag me at the exit. ZenMonkey11 in chat says, I always play as Freddy, but I don't think he's good for new players. I don't know. Maybe it's because I, like, watched other streams. I figured it out pretty quick. Like, it's, you know, it's just setting those traps and kind of knowing where to set them. Although Pyramid Head has a very similar mechanic, and that's who I was playing. Which I need to do some with the pallets. I fucking love that he can do fake pallets on top of all that. And just kind of, you know, being able to use the blood porting to your advantage where you can actually port to a gen on the other side of the map to more effectively patrol or fake them out. Like, if you're going to be, like, near a gen, you start to blood port to that gen and watch everybody run out and then get them as they're running out. He's a nasty little shit trickster, and that's why he's really fun to play. So, so I've been enjoying Freddy. He's like my second highest leveled killer now next to Pyramid Head. So I will have to – I texted Jamie and let her know, but I'll have to let her know more about that later on. So and ZenMonkey11 in chat says, Freddy in the Stranger Things lab is awesome. Oh, I bet the traps are so effective there in the narrow quarters. I hate that map, though, but I can see where – because Pyramid Head's trenches are very effective, which, again, is a very similar mechanic. So, yeah, Dead by Daylight, still playing more of that. I also played Octopath Traveler on Xbox because it's with Game Pass. So I played a little bit of that, and it hasn't really changed from the Switch. So there's really not a lot to add, but it was nice to kind of play that again. And there's a ton of achievements. You get achievements for doing every little thing in that game. So that's kind of fun. I also played, this isn't really a full game, but you know how Shane is my friend, and you know, he has a reputation here on Orange Lounge Radio, being able to talk people into buying and playing whatever game he wants you to be able to play. And one of the series he is really into right now is Monster Hunter. And so he's really trying to get me into Monster Hunter. I guess I could have downloaded the one on Game Pass because Monster Hunter World, I think, is on Game Pass. But he was like, no, they've done so many quality of life things in Rise. Just download that Monster Hunter Rise demo for the Switch. So I did. And I have to say, the demo was a lot better than the Wii U Monster Hunter demo because it actually told you what to do and actually set you up and educated you on how to play the game. So I will give Rise credit in that department. But at the end of the day, unfortunately, I think I just don't enjoy Monster Hunter. Like, and I think it's, and I know a lot of you do, so I'm sorry. And I'm not saying it's a bad game. It's just not for me. And it's the combat. It's so I can't get into the combat. Like, I was doing the little tutorial thing and I'm like, oh, I swung my sword, gigantic sword, and it took like 2 minutes and I missed. And oh, I swung my big sword and I think I hit this one. But you know what? My dog pal and my cat pal already killed them because I'm so slow and bad. That my dog and cat pals, which I do love that there are dog and cat friends, but they already killed them. And I tried to do another quest and it was just, I can't get into it. I'm sorry. Anyway, I'm looking in chat. Questbuster says, not every game is for everyone. It's okay. I know. But I know so many of you are fans of the series and I don't want to sound like I'm talking negative on it. It did seem really pretty. The map, there seemed to be a lot of area to explore and all that, but I just can't get into the combat. I think that's where it's just a no thank you for me. Yeah, Bobby Blackwell says it's not a Ni No Kuni. Certainly not. And Bobby says, yeah, they did a much better job with the demo. And ActDeft in chat says, the same goes for me, Rob. After 5 to 6 installments of Monster Hunter, I finally gave up. The game is not for me. Shane is in chat saying Monster Hunter is like deadly Pokemon. I'm excited every time I see a new monster, but then I'm excited to murder it. Mish in chat says, you're not talking negative. You're just not into it, and that's okay. Exactly. But you know what's funny is you'll never know when I suddenly change my mind, and I reserve the right to change my mind. I wasn't really into Mass Effect when I first played it, but I ended up changing my mind pretty big, didn't I? Here's the other one that shocks me. The horror thing. I'm not super into horror games. Well, I guess I've always liked Silent Hill, like psychological games. But I've never really been into like jump scare horror type of games. I don't really love horror movies the way a lot of my friends do and so forth, which I know is ironic because I work with the SAC Horror Film Festival. And even the producer knows I'm not as into it as everyone else is. I'll do a kick-ass job hosting. I'm just not as into it. I love cult movies. And that's why I'm there, because horror and cult are very closely aligned. But my point is, yet here I am, 5 years after it came out, finally getting into Dead by Daylight. Like, finally just, oh, something finally clicked for me in this game, and I'm into it now. And maybe that will happen with Monster Hunter someday. Maybe there will be just the right class that I discover where it's like, oh, this one doesn't play like molasses. I can, you know, get into this. But today is not that day. There is that. So Shane even says in chat, I didn't like Monster Hunter until World. It took the changes they made in World for me to have fun, and now it's even better. So it took years for me to be a fan. And Questbuster says, I wasn't into Pokemon until I finally sat down with Pokemon Sword and found myself really enjoying it. And talk about a series that Shane has really been trying to get me into for a long time. Yeah, the Pokemon games. I mean, I've always enjoyed them enough. I'll get through like a couple gyms in each of the mainline games, and I'll kind of put it aside. But it wasn't until Pokemon Shield and that whole concept of you don't have to feel like you're missing Pokemon if you don't catch them all in a certain area, because you have this gigantic wild area waiting for you that you can explore in post-game and all that. So just focus on, like, the way Shield kind of framed it so much differently really worked for me, and it was the first Pokemon game I actually played to completion. So, and I actually, and as for those of them following the show, I even completed my stupid Pokédex a couple months ago. Now I just have to work on the DLC, but we'll see. All right. So that's that with all that stuff. Speaking of Pokemon, before I get to the next story, so a little bit of a housekeeping note. This week here at the Voice of Geeks Network, Bobby Blackwolf gave us our first Channel Point reward night. And basically what happened, those of you that do watch our show live over on Twitch, every so often we will have a channel reward thing that you can fundraise for. It's not actual money for these fundraisers, but they're the points that you earn as you watch VOG content. You get, you know, 10 points every few minutes that you're watching. I think if you're subbed, you get 12. Well, you can actually chip in points towards a bonus stream when we open that up. So Bobby did the first one this week. And he did some old VHS footage of things he shot in the 90s. Some promos that he had VHS copies of, and some of them were wild, let me tell you. I didn't see all of it because I instead saw a really, really bad car accident as I was doing a pokey walk that same day. And I got stuck there because they had to move everything out of the way before the cars could get out of the parking lot. But anyway, I did get to see the E3 footage that he shot on camera. And a lot of that was really funny and really good. And I guess for wrestling fans, there's a pretty epic thing in there. So, yeah, he did a great stream of that. So we've been promising for a bit. The second stream we're going to do, because I got him to say he would do it when he was here on the show a couple weeks ago, we're going to do Shane's definitive Pokemon ranking. And we'll see how good he is at influencing folks on his decisions. So that will be coming up if you guys can raise enough points, which I think you will. I think you have 4 weeks to raise 100,000 points. And we already have 38,000 as of tonight. So there's that. If you're not able to be here live, if you're a subscriber here at the Voice of Geeks Network, you can always watch it on demand. We're trying to create more benefit for our subscribers. That's really what it is, because so many of you have been so generous with your subscriptions and the gift subscriptions, especially a lot of that, that we want to make sure there's more content than just, you know, the Sunday night shows, the other shows we host. We want you to have more content to dive into. So if you missed what Bobby did earlier this week, hey, guess what, subscribers? You can go watch that on demand anytime. Make sure you see the part when he's with the Charles Martinet voiced Mario animatronic in 98. It's great. And Bobby was so like dying on camera because he couldn't believe we were watching it. It was great. So check that out. But we will be doing Shane's definitive Pokemon ranking at some point in April, assuming we raise the points for it, which I think we will. So be sure to collect those points. All right. I think that's it for the housekeeping. Let's get into some more news. And we're going to start off with Loki.
Yeah. So alluding back to the story we were just talking about with Nintendo and supply chain. They were selling brand new Animal Crossing New Horizons Sanrio amiibo cards. And they sold out pretty much immediately because what supply chain? And, Target was originally the store that was offering these. I think they may have been the only store. And they were limiting, you know, orders 2 per customer. But, of course, even like, you know, all the console launches last year, immediately grabbed by scalpers who then turned around and sold them online. And, you know, it's a big old mess as usual. Of course, as pointed out, there's folks that are selling, bootleg, amiibo cards off of, like Etsy and stuff like that, because you can clone them using NFC stickers, for which I have 50 of them. So, but yeah, it makes it very difficult to actually, pay money and get these because they are so scarce, which in reality, they really shouldn't be.
Yeah, I have no problem endorsing piracy in this case. Sorry, I know, and I know people are going to take issue with
that. It's super easy, too.
It's just, this is unacceptable. What's happening is unacceptable, period. Like, Nintendo's scarcity of fucking cards that are so easy to make yourself that there's entire Reddits dedicated to the process. Go forth and copy, make your own cards. Now, that's not going to be good enough for some people. Some people are collectors, and they're going to want to collect the actual cards and so forth. And again, I'm not here to tell you how to spend your money and how to do all that stuff, but all I'm going to say is that if you want to pirate these cards because Nintendo didn't put enough of them on shelves and scalpers are buying them instead, to devalue what the scalpers have, I am all about piracy. Go forth, pirate, make your own Sanrio amiibo. In this case, I'm not endorsing piracy everywhere. I'm endorsing it for this particular product because, once again, Nintendo has flopped when it comes to creating the supply to meet the demand.
They're cards. I mean, they don't really cost anything. But once again, they don't want to oversaturate the market because it will devalue their product. But, like, it's just frustrating. Nobody is concerned about their product being devalued. Whenever has, like, anything that Nintendo has sold been devalued? Like, ever. Like, I don't... Even looking at, like, classic NES games now, buying cartridges for those haven't dropped down in price very much.
No, in fact, classic NES games, I mean, unless they're, like, a lot of, like, sports games that are released annually, But even sometimes, like, you know, try to find a copy of, like, what is it, NHL 94 or whatever it is on Genesis, the, you know, Epic one. Those are still a bit of money. But, you know, a lot of the sports games that were published yearly are kind of the exception. But you go back to, like, the cartridges on the NES and Super Nintendo, like, a lot of they're going up in price now. You know, there was a little while when you could get them pretty cheaply, but now that they're becoming more scarce and they're more collectibles, they're just going up in value. They really, really are.
Yeah. It's crazy, but yeah, same old, so I mean, if you want these, hope you got them, but I don't know if they're going to be releasing more. You know, honestly, like, it to me, it doesn't even really make sense to me anyways, because it's like a one-time thing. This really should have been just sold as DLC. Like, the cards, like, I guess you could collect them, but it's not really something you can just display. It's not like a statue like an amiibo normally is. This is just, you scan it into the game and you're done.
Yeah.
Like, I don't understand why even, well, what would be the point of keeping them?
Again, collectibles akin to baseball card collecting, I understand. And I'm not here to tell somebody what they should and shouldn't collect. So if that is value to somebody, then cool. But you're right. As far as, like, the practical use in the game, I'm sick of the scarcity. I'm sick of it. So pirate. Now, I would say that I'm going to pirate these, but a listener was like, oh, I saw these on the shelf and I grabbed you one so that a scalper wouldn't get it. And that was very kind. I'm very lucky in that regard. But if that hadn't happened, I would have no problem making my own. Asking Loki for help and making my own.
Yeah, I haven't quite done it yet, but from what I see, it's very easy. You have a phone app to basically scan it. My phone has NFC writers, so I can just put the sticker on there. And then they have, like, the way most people set them up is they have you print, like, a piece of paper and you glue it to a poker chip and you stick it inside of a coin case. Hmm. And then you can keep everything kind of together.
Interesting.
But I haven't done it yet because I'm in no hurry to do it, but we were going to do that just with some of the Smash Brothers amiibos and stuff like that, that I can't find anymore. Like, they're just not being sold anywhere. So it's like, rather than pay, you know, over $20 a statue, we'll just put them on a coin. I don't need, especially since we're going to, like, scan them in once and that'll be it. Like, I don't need to do that. We don't need a
Nintendo Disney just had their own online store where you could order any amiibo you wanted. This wouldn't be such a problem, but nope.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that would be helpful, but, you know, that might devalue their product or something.
Yeah. this is the reason why on one hand, I kind of miss some of the amiibo stuff, but this whole scarcity and thing, I don't miss it. And that's the reason why I kind of do wish this amiibo stuff would come to an end. And I realize these are just reprints of cards that are a few years old anyway, but they're giving it all this new functionality, which obviously makes it a very different situation. So
yeah,
there is that. Well, speaking of Nintendo, at least this project sounds like it could be interesting. There is another joint venture that's going to be happening between Nintendo and Niantic. Of course, Niantic being the makers of the hugely popular mobile phone game, Pokemon Go, which is still going. It's coming up on its 5-year anniversary. Contrary to what Bobby Blackwolf will try to tell you on our Discord over at vognetwork.com/Discord, Pokemon Go is still going. And it's honestly probably in a better place than it's been in a long time, coming up on its 5-year anniversary. And that's going to be very interesting to see how they celebrate the 5-year anniversary. And this week, Nintendo Niantic put out a joint press release talking about a new partnership. They're going to be jointly develop apps that combine Niantic's real-world AR technology with Nintendo's beloved characters. So this is one of probably more to come. And I wonder if this isn't a result of Nintendo's own adventures into mobile phone gaming, you know, outside of Pokemon Go. None of them really took off. Like, everybody was expecting Super Mario Run to change the game, and it didn't. So, and then the Animal Crossing, the Mario Kart, I think, is really not done the expectations they expected it to. So they're really reevaluating how they do mobile phone, and who's done well with a Nintendo product. Well, I'll tell you, it's Niantic. And I'll tell you why Niantic did well with the product where these other companies screwed up. Because Niantic made a game, a unique thing, with the mobile phone and what the mobile phone can offer in mind. What was Super Mario Run? It was a cheap knockoff of the console experience. Because you couldn't have an actual controller on the phone, they decided, oh, he'll just always run and you'll tap the screen to jump. Flop.
Mario and also like an endless runner. Well, it wasn't an endless runner, but like endless based off of an endless runner is kind of like cheap. Like just that's like, oh, I'm going to make a mobile game. What should be? Well, endless runners are popular.
Yeah.
You know, Temple Run's popular. It's like, okay, well, let's think outside the box a bit here.
Mario Kart, super fun game on console. I hope they make a Mario Kart 9 and soon. But when you try to translate it to cell phone, doing this with your cell phone just isn't the same. It's not as fun. And so people kind of rejected that. This is where Niantic succeeded because they developed a game that took, you know, something only mobile phones can do and a game that was designed for mobile. They had that in the back of their mind. And so that's really what it is. So Nintendo's kind of realized this, I think, and now they're partnering with Niantic to make other games. And the first one that they are going to be doing is a new game based on Pikmin, which that part kind of makes me go, ooh, because I'm just not a big Pikmin fan. It's like a Monster Hunter for me. You guys love it. I don't care for it.
How many Pikmin games have we gotten recently? Like, let's move on to another franchise, please.
Well, there was only Pikmin 3. It was just recent. That's why it feels like.
No, they had like another one before that, though. They had another re-release, and aren't they making yet another Pikmin game as well?
They did. Yeah, like, I think so.
It's been so many. Like, just oh god, it's so uninteresting. Like, yeah, I'll check it out, but like, it's certainly not it does not have the appeal that, you know, a Pokemon game would have. Pikmin is just not. It's not to that level.
I'll give it a chance because in the announcement, the press release, they say, with gameplay activities designed to encourage walking and making the activities more enjoyable. And, of course, it's being made by Niantic in Tokyo. And that all sounds – making walking more enjoyable, that's what motivates me to play things like Ingress and Pokemon Go. So if they find a way to gamify Pikmin in a way that's going to be fun, and I don't expect – and I think – I have to remember what I just said about why those other games didn't work, and that might be good news for me here. I didn't enjoy Pikmin on console, but since Niantic, I expect, is not just going to try to shove a console version of Pikmin in the real world, but make an AR experience that happens to involve Pikmin, I'm going to give it a shot because it's going to be different from the console games based on the track record of Niantic, based on the track record of all the other companies that Nintendo try to partner with. Does that make sense?
Yeah. I wish they would do like a Zelda game, honestly, because the control scheme that they had on the DS Zelda games using just the touchscreen was fantastic. It was great, and it worked really well. Like, you could make a pretty robust game. I think it would be awesome to see a mobile like Zelda game, and even like an AR-based one would be kind of cool with different randomly generated dungeons.
I know. Can you fucking imagine a Zelda AR game that's kind of like based on the first Zelda, where like the entire world is a map? And like you said, a lot of it is just kind of generated. But let's say you go to your park nearby and your park is where the dungeons are, and where you get the little do 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 do, and you get like a secret thing, and then you can kind of explore the air. That would be so badass. I'd be so into it. But I don't, you know, I have no idea if that is. You know,
but they wouldn't do Retro Zelda anymore. They would just try to, I don't know. It would just not be, yeah, it's unfortunate because like stuff like, you know, especially like with Orna, I think is such a great concept that you put
Fifth Dream says just reskin Orna to Zelda.
Well, it's a different type of game, but yeah, I mean, they could do something like that. That would be kind of similar to like a Final Fantasy AR game almost. I mean, yeah. That's kind of what it is. But they could do, like, they really could do a mobile Zelda game and it would work all right. Or hell, if you want to be super lazy about it, just port over the DS like Zelda games. They worked well with touchscreen. Like, that's how you played those games.
No,
so
no. Bad Loki. Where's my squirt bottle? Psst, psst. No, psst, psst. I do not want console games ported to mobile phone anymore. We're done. We're past that. So no, that sounds like a terrible idea. Bad. Time out.
All right, fine.
Going to chat. SG100 Matt says, Niantic is taking notes. Don't give that away for free. That wouldn't be the first time it's happened on this show.
No one's listening to us.
Well, Well, anyway.
Okay, well, Niantic's not listening to us. Well,
I don't, maybe not anymore. Anyway, I don't know. We'll see. But you know who you are and you know where to find me. So let's talk if that's of interest to you, please. Anyway, let's see. What else is in the thing here? The app is scheduled to launch globally in 2021 with Niantic as the publisher. So that's another interesting note, is that it is a game that's scheduled to release this year, which is interesting because, did y'all forget, Niantic's supposed to be doing a Catan game, a Settlers of Catan game. That was the other project they'd announced some time ago. There's Pokemon Go, there's Ingress, there's Harry Potter, although I think Portkey Warner Brothers does the bulk of development for that game, and they're just kind of using Niantic's database for that. But the Niantic social's been really crammed into that. And that was a big part of the Pokemon Go upgrades this week, is that those two games are really joined at the hip at this point. So we'll see where that comes in. But anyway, those are the three games that exist now. There's supposed to be Settlers of Catan coming, or Catan the World. I don't know what it's called. And now we know Pikmin will be game number 5, 4, if Catan gets slowed down anymore. I don't know. So, and Catan is out. If you're in Australia or New Zealand, or maybe it's just New Zealand. Sorry to any Aussie listeners we may have listening if I'm wrong, but I think Catan is still in that beta test in those areas where Niantic really tends to test a lot of their products. So, all right. ActDev says, I think it's only New Zealand, and that may very well be. All right. You know what? It's a reward to New Zealand for doing COVID the right way. You get Catan. Congrats. And you'll probably get the Pikmin game too first. All right. Anyway, yeah, S200 Matt in chat says, New Zealand gets all the fun things, like winning a pandemic. I know. Freaking competent leadership. It's pretty amazing what that'll bring. Anyway, Loki. Oh, here's another gut punch on the mobile front, huh, Loki? Although, I don't know. I actually don't think this is bad news. But Loki, tell
whatever,
us whatever,
you know what?
I'm, I don't think it's bad news.
They announced it in 2015.
I think we should celebrate this news.
But no, they have to go and dash my hopes again, because that's just where we are in this world. So Square Enix was developing a port of Final Fantasy XI.
They weren't developing Nexon. It. They weren't.
Okay, fine. Nexon was developing it, and it was called Final Fantasy XI R. And it was supposed to be some mobile MMO, but they, as of apparently February, have stopped development on it, saying that in early February, Nexon and Square Enix announced a mutual decision to cancel that project. Together, we decided that the game was not showing the level of creative differentiation that the players expect from a Final Fantasy franchise. And rather than release a game that doesn't break new creative ground, we agreed to step away from the project.
Yay!
No!
Yay! Because that is a very long way of saying, we realized Final Fantasy XI was not fun to play on a mobile phone. And Loki, you would have... if jobs were lost or something like that, I wouldn't be having this celebration. But they moved everybody to another project. Somebody finally along the way realized Final Fantasy XI is going to fucking suck to play on a mobile phone. Yay for coming to that decision, because you're absolutely right. And Loki, you know it. Whether you want to admit it or not, this game would have sucked on a mobile phone. Absolutely.
And play it on a tablet then. It would have been fine. I would have still played it.
Now, if they take some of those assets that were built and maybe make a, say, Nintendo Switch version of Final Fantasy XI... now we're talking maybe a little more. Maybe I can get on board with something like that, but we'll see. I do think, and look, I had many great years in Final Fantasy XI. I do want to see Final Fantasy XI be refreshed enough so that more people feel compelled in the year 2021 to take a look at it. I just think the answer was never port it to cell phones. I don't understand. You know, that would have just fundamentally changed the game. That wouldn't have even been Final Fantasy XI the way we remember it. But I think, number one, the mod scene is still doing incredible things in Final Fantasy XI. Did you see that, Loki? Somebody went through and fucking upped all the textures in Final Fantasy XI to like 4K. And so like there's a mod out there that will like basically make an HD version of Final Fantasy XI. And it looks pretty amazing. And it's
fine. I don't have to do that and play bootleg servers, I guess.
It's also one of those things that makes you go, why won't Square embrace something like this? Well, maybe they couldn't, because of the deal they had going on with Nexon, and that was going to be the next official Final Fantasy XI product. So let me reiterate, yay, it's canceled. So now they can do something else that's going to be a little more in line with what we would expect out of a Final Fantasy XI reimagining. So there's that. All right. Loki, I don't mean to dance on your dreams and all that stuff, but Loki, it's for the best. It's for the best.
I guess.
All right.
I'm not happy about it, though.
No, I mean, I'm only happy because everybody got moved to another project, so we're fine, but anyway. All right. Moving on, let's talk about exciting things happening in the indie scene. That's always something to celebrate and say yay about. And Xbox did an event this week where they talked about indie games, and a fucking lot of indie games. There was did you see that? ID at Xbox, I think it's called. Do you see all that indie stuff?
I didn't watch it, but yeah, I heard about it.
A ton of stuff. Yeah, I really only saw the bullet points. And they did a showcase, and in this showcase, over 20 games were confirmed that they are going to be on Game Pass at launch. And I think one of them just came out the day after, right away. Sorry, I forget which game came out. I forget the name in the moment. but there was a game that, something Moonlight, I think it was called. So anyway, some of the other games that are going to be coming to Game Pass: Art of the Rally, Astria Ascending, Backbone, Boyfriend Dungeon, Craftopia, Dead Static Drive, Edge of Eternity, Hello Neighbor 2, that was one I know they were spotlighting a bit, Library of Ruina, Little Witch in the Woods, Moonglow Bay, Narita Boy, Nobody Saves the World, Omno, Recompile, Sable, She Dreams Elsewhere, Stalker 2, The Ascent, Undungeon, Way to the Woods, and Wild at Heart. So all of those, again, they're coming to Game Pass the first day, so it's pretty impressive on Microsoft's part. And I think that's a great way for more indie games to get discovered as well, is that by kind of releasing on that Game Pass and going to that app where, hey, I can check this game out because it's part of what I have in my subscription anyway. I think it's getting those games out there to even a wider audience. And they're not getting lost in, say, Nintendo storefront, where it's like, if you don't succeed in the first week, you're going to get buried, or the way things work on Steam. Am I right, Loki?
I mean, definitely it's, easier to find those games and easier to check them out, especially... I'm glad that they have the back of these independent developers to be able to kind of showcase their games. Plus, it's a guaranteed revenue stream because it is being included in Games Pass, that they're getting money from that. So that's pretty nice as well, that deal.
Genesis Noir is the game I was trying to think of that came right out on Xbox Game Pass.
Yeah, that Nobody Saves the World, too. That's supposed to be a brand new RPG by the guys that did Guacamelee, so that looks pretty cool.
Oh, that'll be fun. Very cool.
Yeah.
All right. Act Deft in chat says, Art of the Rally kind of reminds me of RC Pro-Am. So, yeah, there's a lot of these indie titles, honestly, they get their influence from an established IP, and then a lot of them do it even better. So that's pretty pretty cool. All right, let's move on with some more news. Loki.
So Sony is planning on shutting down the stores for the PlayStation 3, PSP, and Vita this summer. So
Rumor.
Yes, allegedly. So... the rumor is that they're closing the PlayStation 3 and PSP versions of the store early July, and then shutting down the Vita version in late August. So apparently I don't think you'll be able to purchase any more games through that. You will still possibly have the option to re-download previously purchased titles, but you won't be able to purchase brand new titles anymore, or at least not through those services. This is something we've seen like Nintendo do. Not surprising, but we'll have to see if it actually happens. Probably would. I could see them doing that. I know we've seen a lot of stories also about like so-called pirates preserving some of these games, but I don't know if that's necessarily what they're doing. But sure, we'll say that you're you're doing it for game preservation and not piracy.
Well, I mean, but this begs the question, you know, again, like, if I'm not allowed to buy the game anymore, what choice do I have?
True. Yeah, that makes sense. But the developers, you know, the publishers or whatever of these games aren't receiving any money either. So, yeah, I get it. You can't purchase the game, but I don't know. Yeah, I think at that point, though, like, the money's been made, but it still sucks.
Yeah. I wish Sony was embracing backwards compatibility. I know their current, you know, management feels a certain way about it, but I think Xbox has been winning a lot of favor with people because they've recognized, they were going the wrong way with backwards compatibility in the beginning too, but I think they recognized that that was a mistake and really opening their library to backwards compatibility, and especially the part where they're making the older games even better through some of like the auto HDR and, you know, some of, like, you know, I was talking last week, I played Oblivion for a little bit because it was on Game Pass and it looks even better than it did. Of course it does, because I have a nicer TV now and all that stuff. You know, it looks great compared to what it did on the 360. So, it's just a shame that Sony won't do the same thing. Now, Sony would say, oh, well, you can still experience our rich PlayStation 3 library through PlayStation Now.
Nobody wants PlayStation Now.
Well, and I think a big part of that is because it's cloud-based, and I don't think everybody wants cloud-based, especially when we're still living in this era of data caps. And, you know, okay, but where's PlayStation 2 and PlayStation 1? You know, that was a big part of what was on the PlayStation 3 store. There was a lot of PlayStation 1 classics on there that you really can't get anywhere else once that's gone. Because my PlayStation 5 can't play a fucking PlayStation 1 game. You know what I mean? Or PlayStation 4, whatever. Yeah. And that's going to suck because games like, say, you know, great PlayStation 1 games, like, say, Suikoden 1 and 2. You know, those games were really hard to find for a while. And then when they came out on the PlayStation 3, it was like, awesome, we can get these digitally because there's no such thing as digital scarcity in the Sony universe until now, all these years later. Now we're just going to be losing the store altogether. And we can't really trust Konami to ever get their shit together to get, you know, these games re-released on PlayStation 4 or 5 or what have you. So I think Sony's doing a big disservice by getting rid of a lot of these PlayStation 1 and 2 games as well. Now, there's rumors, you know, we love to talk rumors, mm-hmm. that Sony is going to address the backwards compatibility thing. But I'm not going to put stock in that because their track record doesn't really show that. I would be pleasantly surprised if they have a change of heart on that front. And that's something we hear about come June or whenever. We'll see.
It would be nice. But yeah, we've been hoping for that for a long time now.
Yeah, Dark Tetsuya in chat says, yeah, Sony's really bending over backwards to drop the ball on this backwards compatibility stuff, and it sucks. Yeah, and I mean, the same thing goes with the Vita and that stuff. I mean, Jason mentioned in the intro tonight, and I thought that was a great PSA. Sure, I might have downloaded games to my Vita and my, you know, PSP, but thanks to battery bloat and the, you know, what actually can happen to those batteries, those devices may not work anymore. And I can't exactly go buy replacements either. So my digital library on those consoles, bleh, gone forever. Because for whatever reason, the PlayStation TV had to be a separate fucking thing and couldn't have just been integrated into the PlayStation 4 or 5 to be able to play Vita games. I don't understand.
Well, you just see that the power of the PlayStation 5 cannot run a Vita game at this point. It doesn't make any sense. It really doesn't.
And again, why did I buy a Xbox Series X as compared to a PlayStation 5? A lot of it had to do with backwards compatibility and the fact that there weren't a ton of launch titles last year that were on either system that were very compelling. So it was really about who I thought was going to handle the back library better. And I think I made the right choice with Microsoft, especially after hearing about all these fucking hoops people have to jump through to get their Marvel's Avenger PlayStation 4 file to work on PlayStation 5. It's ridiculous. So... all right. Anyway, let's move on and talk about a game that came out this week that's been having some... oh, boy. This game sounds like a hot-ass fucking mess. And I'm going to... full disclaimer, I haven't played it because everybody's told me not to. Even though I like the people behind it, I just... everything I've heard about this game, like the demo wasn't good, the game's not good, and it's been having issues. It's Balan Wonderworld. Apparently, just to pour salt on the wound... the last boss fight decided to do this whole flashing thing, which I don't know how this misses QA checks and things like that. Or, you know, I know maybe it did get hit in the QA check, but even then, how did it not get prioritized as a must fix type of thing is the flashing that happened on the final boss fight, which can even cause seizures.
It just wasn't prioritized, much like how I think the same thing happened with Cyberpunk. Jeez. They had the same issue. They had to tone it down.
Yeah. So they did. Now, just to be clear, there is a day one patch for the game, and the day one patch does handle the issue. But for all those journalists that were reviewing the cop, writing their negative reviews of the game in advance, that was sure a nasty little gotcha for those that got to the final boss fight. There is video of it on YouTube, but again, I just told you it could make you sick, so I really wouldn't go seeking that out. There's much more interesting things you could watch on YouTube. But it also is just, it's another like kick in the ass of this game, which has just not been getting great like buzz, great reviews or anything, which is weird because it's coming from like Sonic, dude, and you know, Phantasy Star Online and all that stuff. It's, you know, I think the expectations were a lot higher, and wow. Shane is in chat saying, I don't have flashing light problems usually, but that video did not make me feel the best. Dark Tetsuya said, yeah, I heard about this one. Just glad they're fixing it day one, so may try to get it at some point. I did kind of like the demo. It's out now, by the way, and it was fixed in that day one patch. Just please make sure you get that patch before you get all the way to the final boss, because this would be a nasty surprise sitting in the game. That's a bummer. Any interest in Balan Wonderworld from you, Loki?
It looked cool. I just, you know, I have too many games right now that I haven't played, so... I don't know. It looks like a very cool game. It just, I probably won't buy it anytime soon.
All right. Well, I think we need to take a trip down memory lane to a time when we had classic games that didn't cause such headaches. Yeah,
I was checking
problems.
Out that video. The video, man, that's a lot of flashing. I don't know how they got past them. That seems like something that they should definitely have addressed.
I agree. Anyway, let's get to it. The classic game of the week. So this week, to help us with the classic game of the week, since Dark Sakura is out tonight, I have brought in a very special guest, one that I think is familiar to most of you OLR regulars. Say hello, everybody, to Alan Alchemy. Hey, Alan.
Hello.
How are you doing?
I'm doing all right. How are you?
I am good. And thanks for being able to fill in tonight on short notice. I guess it helps that you know, we live together and all that.
Yes.
All right. So you know the drill. Every week here on the show, Dark Soccer steps into the gaming vault and picks a game that she wants to highlight as the classic game of the week. Although once a month she puts a twist on it, but you're not doing that tonight. You're helping to fill in for a classic game. So Alan, what have you picked for this week's classic game of the week?
Well, when you asked me to pinch hit like this, I did have to take a look on Wikipedia and see what came out 10 years ago, which is morbidly depressing because I could have swore that a lot of those games came out 3 years ago, not 10.
Yeah.
I saw something that caught my eye that played for that I had played for a bit when it was fresh meme all the way back in October of 2010. It's actually a game that had a little bit of a preview in 2008. I'll get to that in a moment, but I am talking about Super Meat Boy, which came out on October 20th, 2010 for, I believe, Xbox 360 Live Arcade. It became available on their online store for the Xbox.
I cannot believe this game is 10 years old. Although, I think I saw a tweet just a couple days ago that said something like, the time between the Super Nintendo and the Xbox 360 release now matches the time between the Xbox 360 release and now. Something like that. So it's like...
Yeah,
oh.
It's just like... When the difference between now and Nirvana's Smells Like Teen Spirit when we were in high school was the same as like Led Zeppelin's Houses of the Holies. It's like, fuck off. I don't need your factoids. I'm not interested.
I'm not here for these reminders of my age.
You know what I don't like? Facts. Get them away from me.
We don't like facts here at OLR. This is great. This is why I know I can always count on you to fill in the segment. All right.
Yes.
I'm sorry. So Super Meat Boy. Yes, I spent plenty of hours on this myself.
So this game started out as a flash game on Newgrounds. Who remembers Newgrounds? The sort of more innocent... I don't want to say it's more innocent 4chan. What does that even mean? It was... Newgrounds was just a big cornucopia of amazing, weird, off-kilter content. You had Salad Fingers and, like, awesome games, and Eagle Raptor from Game Grumps got a start on Newgrounds, and so did the Behemoth Studio that made Alien Hominid, and also Castle Crashers all has roots in Newgrounds. So a lot of, like, elder millennial and, like, Gen X programmers really glommed onto Newgrounds in the late 90s and eventually built careers that are still relevant to this day. Super Meat Boy is a game that was put out on Newgrounds, and it got so much hype and traffic that they were able to leverage that into a real self-published title. It was designed by Edmund McMillan and Tommy... this is where I should probably look up names before I try to say them. Thomas Refens? Tommy Refens. Apologies. Under the collective name of Team Matt. Much better to say. This Super Meat Boy to me was a culmination of a lot of things that were in sort of the ether, in sort of like the self-published sort of bootleg ROM type style games that were popular in the late 2000s. Games like I Wanna Be the Guy, games like Asshole Mario, ROM hacks basically that really pushed punishing intense difficulty and repetition memorization. Super Meat Boy was, it's a platformer. The sprites are very small, but there's a lot of pixels and there's a lot of detail. The soundtrack is incredible. As the super in the title evokes, it's very much a intentional retro aesthetic game. It looks like it could have been made on the Super NES or Genesis, especially when you get that awesome soundtrack. And the plot of it is you are a little ball of flesh, honestly, who lives with his girlfriend Bandage Girl, because he's constantly bleeding, and she's a Band-Aid. How could I be more obvious? One day, Bandage Girl is kidnapped by Dr. Fetus, an intelligent fetus in a life support suit, and it's Rescue the Princess. It's a Rescue the Princess game. And there are a ton of levels. I don't know exactly how many. But yeah, it is the type of game where you want to get from point A to point B. You're navigating these sort of scrolling levels that sometimes you go down, sometimes you go to the right. There's traps, bombs, spinning blades, double jumps that require very specific timing. And when you die, you leave a ghost of your attempt. And then as you finish the level, it will show you the ghosts of every attempt that you had needed to get to the fucking whatever the objective is for that level.
That's always very humbling when you would see 100 of those little fuckers all over the screen, like, yeah, just screwing and up left and right.
But that was a mechanic. It is a mechanic. Sorry to interrupt. It is a mechanic that they introduced, or that was replicated in Mario Maker. Because in Mario Maker, you can see where everyone else dies.
No, that's very true. Good point.
And as a matter of fact, I think, and this is a little tinfoil hat for me, the fact that Super Meat Boy got the sales that it did, given that we already had seen ROM hacks like Asshole Mario, I Want to Be the Guy, and so on, I don't think Nintendo really knew what the demand was like for a professionally done suite of, like, let's take Super Mario Brothers and make it hard as fuck, and let's make it, like, because people were already doing that.
Right.
And I think when this, I think, put the writing on the wall where it's like, oh, if we make a Mario Maker, it will be successful. And the fact that that feature of the ghosts of all the previous attempts, even from online people, just to see where most people die when they attempt the stage, the fact that that was brought into Mario Maker, to me, is not a coincidence. But that's just me sort of trying to be, galaxy brain.
I mean, nobody can really prove that, but, you know, one could argue it does seem like Nintendo may have taken influence from, you know, Super Meat Boy and what the indie community did for the Mario series, which in turn heavily had influenced Super Meat Boy in the first place. So it's very interesting. I mean, again, we can't prove it, but it's very interesting.
And I also believe that Super Meat Boy's success also gave the Cut Boy developers the sort of it's in the air sort of green light that they needed to motivate themselves to put out Cut Boy. Like, oh, there is a market there for incredibly stylized. I mean, the graphics in Cut Boy are based off of like 30s animation, but the quality of the visuals is incredible. It's
oh,
not
you
really
mean Cuphead.
Oh, Cuphead, sorry.
Like,
Cupboy,
who's
Jesus Cupboy? Christ.
Okay, Cuphead, Cupboy. Yeah. No,
Cuphead. They were like, oh, so... And also, Dark Souls came out in, like, 2009? Question mark. Demon Souls came out 2000, what, 5, 7? It was in the air that gamers were all a bunch of fucking masochists. And, like, whip me, beat me, daddy, and Super Meat Boy was more than happy to oblige, like Dark Souls, like all of these asshole Mario ROM hacks. So, and also Cuphead, excuse me, of just really fucking difficult 2D games. Super Meat Boy, the fact that it, I had never really heard of it because I had fallen off of the new grounds. I wasn't checking it like every day or every week like I had in the 90s and in the early 2000s. Yeah, it was a game that was ultimately put out on every platform that you can think of because its digital footprint isn't all that large. It's a 2D scroller. And it came out on the 360, on Windows proper, I think. It's on Steam. It's on the Vita. It's on the Wii U. It's on the Switch. It's on the PS4. There's a Linux build for it. It's everywhere. And its sequel came out in December of this most recent year. So that's a pretty significant gap between the original game and the sequel.
And it wasn't quite as well received, that's for sure. But I did want to...
Isn't it a runner? Didn't they change it up?
I think it's more like an endless runner. But the 360, I think, is always going to be my favorite version because but the soundtrack is way better in that one. And I realized they ended up having some disputes, and so they ended up having the soundtrack completely rewritten. But in my opinion, that original soundtrack was superior to the new one. No offense to any composers involved. That's just my opinion.
Yeah. Yeah, I barely... See, I played this for a bit, and then I got distracted by something else, so... I can't necessarily say that I've beaten this game top to bottom and done every level 10 times, but this definitely caught my attention for a bit, and it's a unique enough title that I wanted to make sure that it got a spotlight in classic game. Meat Boy has made cameos in roughly a dozen, if not more... titles. He's appeared as an unlockable or DLC character in Bit Trip Runner, Bit Trip Fate, Runner 2, Spelunky, Dust and Elysian Tale, Ori and the Blind Forest, Retro City Rampage, Illomilo, and Indie Pogo. PETA came out with, and here's the thing that I hate about, I mean, PETA's just a horrific like organization, whatever their mission statement is, they're bad. There's other ways to I guess make their talking points that don't have to come out of their platform in particular. But one thing that frustrates me about them is that when they put out a parody Flash video game, they hire good Flash programmers. If you remember the Tofu Cookie Mama game that came out for Thanksgiving, that game was a jam. That was a good Flash game, where you had to, like, carve the tofurkey and, like, put the stuffing in it. It was a fun game. So PETA, in protest of this game, even though I don't necessarily know that Super Meat Boy is made of beef, I think he's just, like, he's just blood. I don't know what he is. He's married to a Band-Aid. And I don't think, no one told PETA that it wasn't that serious. But they came out with a parody Flash game called Super Tofu Boy, on December 1st of 2010 to protest the game and promote veganism. I don't think you eat or cook anything in Super Meat Boy. You're just a ball of blood trying to rescue his girlfriend. So again, it's not that deep. But in response, Team Meat added its own interpretation of Tofu Boy on the PC version of actual Super Meat Boy. So yeah, I think he was a character in the Steam version.
Huh.
The game's success, again, I mentioned this before, spurred the development of the 1930s-style animated video game Cuphead.
Interesting. All right. Well, there it is, your classic game of the week, Super Meat Boy. Very good pick, Alan.
Thank you.
Hey, before I let you go, I know you've been doing a lot more streaming here on Twitch recently. And, you know, we've even hosted your channel a couple times after OLR. But for our podcast crowd who doesn't, you know, get those, you know, hosting things on Twitch and stuff, do you want to tell us really quick about your channel? Because you've been doing like a lot more streaming. I know, yeah. I've talked about streaming, but you've been really committed to it over the past month. And what, you're up past 100 followers now, which for somebody just starting out in their first month, that's really incredible. You're doing great. You want to tell us a little more about your channel?
Yeah, I haven't quite had a solid week where I've stuck to the schedule that I've sort of designed for myself, but I have consistently done about three nights a week, if not four, which is pretty good. I've been doing it for a little over a month. My Twitch channel is Alan Alchemy, AllenAlchemy. My Twitter is Alan, Allen underscore TTV. I'm a variety streamer focusing right now on Dead by Daylight, but of more important interest to OLR listeners is that on Monday, I've decided to do Music Night Mondays, where I try out various music games. A lot of it so far has been retro music games of established, you know, nostalgic properties. I haven't done Parappa the Rapper yet. I don't know if I will, because I never really clicked with Parappa, believe it or not, but I've been doing a lot of Busta Groove. In the U.S., it's called Busta Move. I have the Japanese versions. Thank you very much. So I've been playing Busta Move, but the dance game, not the the Marvel puzzle game. I've been doing lots of Space Channel 5. I did Rez last Monday, which was a lot of fun. So I may eventually broaden that to do stuff like Jet Set Radio or Jet Grind Radio, because that's very much a music game, in my opinion. But yeah, when I'm not doing Music Night Mondays, I am focusing on Dead by Daylight, and I've thrown in some Beefcake Slutty Skyrim for the gay men out there and the women who like to look at barbarians who aren't wearing a lot of clothing. It's a lot safer to broadcast than perhaps what is it, Sinbad, Conan, whatever that game is with the full schlong. But yeah, it's a good time.
All right.
Well, I hope
our podcast listeners will check that out over at Alan Alchemy on Twitch, and hope you're able to continue growing your channel. And good luck with all the Dead by Daylight and all that good stuff. You know, one thing I really enjoy when I'm watching your channel, and you know, I'm not just saying this because like we're married and stuff, but is that I like that you kind of explain. You know, I didn't know a lot about Dead by Daylight, and there's a lot of people on Twitch that stream Dead by Daylight. But when I first watched you do it, you were really kind of explaining the why behind a lot of things you were doing, and I think that really helped me understand the game. And I know you've been doing that with a lot of the other stuff you play. So I definitely encourage. You know, I know a lot of people on Twitch kind of be like, I'm a variety streamer, but I like a variety streamer who kind of like also educates a little bit on games, and I think you do a very good job of that.
I don't know if I could ever just be a one game streamer, because a lot of people on Twitch are successful because they play Dark Souls or Fortnite, and that is all they're allowed to play by their fan base. So yeah, I'm not gonna pigeonhole myself like that, but I definitely do think that Dead by Daylight is a really fun game.
All right, well, thank you for joining us tonight and filling in last minute here on the classic game of the week when Dark Soccer is out tonight. We'll ask everybody to follow you on Twitch again over at Alan Alchemy, and we'll see you back on the show again soon, I'm sure, Alan. Have a good one.
All right, thank you. Bye.
All right, thanks once again to Alan for filling in on this week's classic game of the week. That was a great selection there, Super Meat Boy. Loki, you've dropped a lot of hours on that game too, right, Super Meat Boy?
Yeah, I've played through, I think the single, like, I think the original game, I don't know if I beat it or I might have beaten it, I don't remember, but yeah, I played through a lot of that.
Well, one thing we didn't end up getting into in that segment was the whole fact that there's like the light world and the dark world, so maybe like you played through the light world stages and then it's like, well, oh, the dark world ones were even harder.
I did the dark world stuff too.
Oh, hard levels.
I'd have to go back and look, but it's been a while. But yeah, I did play through that quite a bit a while back, but yeah, it's a great game.
All right. Well, thanks again to Alan for filling in with very little notice tonight. Appreciate that. All right. Let's get to some rapid fire news and check out some other things going on in the industry. Loki, start us off, please.
Yeah. So this is pretty cool. We've got some updates for a relatively old game, Serious Sam 2. And this is kind of actually a little bit like the story we talked about last week with Grand Theft Auto Online and how we had some independent developers creating mods to update a game and make it better, and then that being released officially. So that's kind of what happened here. We had an independent developer, Nathan DWK Brown, released a huge update for Serious Sam 2. And it it's basically the last update, or the first update since the game launched, like almost 15 years ago. It's been a while since they've had an update. And, added a lot of different things to it. So some of the things added a couple new weapons, sprinting, dual wielding, rocket jumping, and updates to the visuals and animation, radar that tracks enemies, NPCs, and new objectives. So that's a pretty major overhaul. Yeah. That's pretty awesome to see like an older game like that get some love like that. And, Crow Team actually did partner with them to release that update. So it's pretty awesome. And according to the announcement, it says, I hope that all that was done helps keep the game enjoyable for a long time to come. If that works out, it was all worth it. Long live Serious Sam 2. So pretty awesome. Yeah. Now, this brand new game that's coming out here, Outriders, which is coming out soon, they are planning to mark cheaters in the game. So if they catch someone cheating, they're actually going to brand them as a cheater. And apparently they said out of the demo players, only about 0.01% of them were cheaters. But they said that every single one of the cheaters who gave themselves, 600 ill-gotten legendary weapons apparently are going to be banned, or they're not going to be banned, but they're going to be punished in other ways. For starters, they'll be kept in separate or kept separately from legit players. So like some of the other games, including Grand Theft Auto Online, they'll make you basically play with other cheaters. And they're also going to give you a small, discreet, but easy to spot mark that will be added to your HUD. So if you're a popular streamer and you're cheating, they will be able to see that you're cheating.
Interesting. It's like the scarlet letter, but for cheaters.
Yeah. So some of the things, of course, that would be considered cheating, they said intentionally running a game on PC without easy anti-cheat, modifying game files to enhance character, level, skills, and inventory, etc. Externally modifying the game to reduce time-dependent features such as vendors and challenges, using a trainer program or similar to gain advantages within the game, and using gameplay-altering programs such as aimbots or wall hacks. So,
all right, don't
cheat. They're out to mark you.
Shane in chat says, what even is Outriders? Should I be excited for it and do the early download on Xbox Series X? Isn't it like a Western, but like robots, kind of like loot shooter type of thing in it, but by Square Enix?
I don't necessarily, it looks a lot like Destiny 2 or something like that. So I don't know if, what exactly it is per se, but it looks neat.
It is a cooperative third-person role-playing game, and it's published by Square Enix in Europe. And they're saying it's a third-person shooter, but it's mixed with elements from role-playing games. So you customize your characters, and you choose from four classes, including the Trickster, the Pyromancer, the Devastator, and the Technomancer. Basic skills you have a cooldown time. So again, that sounds very much like Destiny. And then a skill tree that you use to unlock and upgrade skills. You can use weapons like shotguns and assault rifles. DJRamaS says it's first person, not third. It's interesting because I'm reading off the like official little script thing, so I don't know why they're classifying it that way. There's various role-playing elements. So you can explore different hub areas, talk to NPCs, do side missions. There's dialogue trees. That's something Destiny doesn't have. That can affect the outcome of some conversations. You can play solo or with two other players. And it's about humanity's efforts to colonize Enoch, where there was a massive energy storm known as the Anomaly, which is supposed to be indicating hope for humanity's future. And that's where some of the superpowers, I guess, come from. So there you go. Shane in chat says, I can make a character. I mean, that's probably enough for me to make me want to try it. Yep, you can. All right.
Yeah, I mean, it looks interesting.
Yeah, I'll probably check it out. I've been hearing good things about it based on the demo. All right, moving on to some other games. So this is a game that's very popular, is Rocket League, and it's kind of surprising we don't have it on mobile phones. Well, we're going to be getting a version of it on mobile phones, kind of a different sort of game, but it's going to be on iOS and Android. It's Rocket League Sideswipe. And you can play in solo games in this or team up with a friend or two for two versus two matches, and those will last for 2 minutes each. The perspective is a 2D side-on view, so it's a little bit different, and that way you use touch controls that are a little bit easier to pick up. So they're going to hopefully do free-to-play, kind of similar to how Rocket League is now. So there's that. DJ Rama S, by the way, correcting himself in chat, saying, yes, it is third person. All right. Also in rapid fire news, a Ghosts of Tsushima movie is coming with John Wick directing. So yeah, this is another big video game going into the movie territory. And of course this won a lot of, you know, game of the year types of awards. So it's maybe just surprising that the whole thing isn't a franchise yet becoming a movie, but it's going to become a movie. So Chad Stahelski, who made the John Wick franchise, or directed it, I should say, is going to be directing this. So that's pretty cool. Deadline reported on it, and Sony confirmed it. So pretty cool. Of course, we have no idea when it's coming out, but, you know, give it 2 years probably.
It's a
probably
while.
Take a little while, especially with the pandemic still sort of like, are we ending? Are we not? Like, still trying to figure out where that's all at. All right, so we've been experiencing a little bit of technical difficulties live on Twitch, so we're going to pick up our show again here. Sorry, going to create for a little bit of an awkward podcast, but, you know, hey, at least we'll have a podcast this week. So I believe the recording started to get a little dicey when we were getting into release dates, so let's try that again, Loki. Apparently, we had a bumpy flight the first time. Let's travel around the world again and check out some release dates, starting in the U.S.
There's too much Kingdom Hearts for the stream to handle.
Clearly.
So this week we've got Neptunia Virtual Stars coming out on PC. Disco Elysium, The Final Cut on PC, Mac, PlayStation 4, PlayStation 5, and Stadia. We have Evil Genius 2 World Domination. A whole bunch of Kingdom Hearts. So we've got Kingdom Hearts HD 1.5 Remix, 2.5 Remix, 2.8 Final Chapter Prologue, 3... Plus Remind and Melody of Memory, all coming out on PC. We have Narita Boy on PC, Nintendo Switch, PlayStation 4, and Xbox One. Rogue Company on PlayStation 5. The Binding of Isaac Repentance on PC. We have Death Crown on Nintendo Switch, PlayStation 4, and Xbox One. And Tunchi on PC, Nintendo Switch, and Xbox One.
All right. Well, before we had our little technical hiccup
A couple more things. Outriders and Resident Evil 7 Biohazard, both coming to Stadia. Outriders also coming out on PC, PlayStation 4, PlayStation 5, Xbox One, and Xbox Series X.
Do you have a price on Disco Elysium? Paley Hanumea in chat is wondering.
Disco Elysium on which system? I mean, I assume it's all like $60, but let's see here. I don't know. What do I look like, GameStop?
Act deft in chat is guessing.
This is what the internet is for, okay?
All right.
It's $31.99.
All right, thank you. All right.
Which is a weird price, but whatever.
A weird price. All right, traveling over to Japan. So we were talking a little bit before the technical hiccups about Outriders. That is also coming out in Japan on April the 1st. So that is coming out on the PlayStation 5. It is also coming out on the PlayStation 4. And quite honestly, that is really the only release this week. It's a pretty uneventful week in Japan otherwise. So let's move on to the UK, Loki.
The UK, we didn't have a whole lot coming out. We have also Outriders coming out on PlayStation 4, PlayStation 5, Xbox Series X, Xbox One, and Stadia. And then we also have got Monster Truck, it was like Monster Truck Rally, which is coming out on PlayStation 4 and Xbox One.
So SSO 100 Matt in chat wants to know, when is Battletoads coming out? Since you were
already out. It's already out. You can get it on Game Pass.
You can. All right. Let's get back into some other news. Loki. Oh, boy. More rumors. Oh, boy. Oh, boy. My favorite.
Yeah, well, it's more adding on to the same rumors that we've already had regarding an upgraded Nintendo Switch that's coming out later this year. According to a Bloomberg report, they're saying that it's going to be powered by a brand new NVIDIA system on chip that's in the dock using to they're going to be using that chip to upscale the graphics to 4K. And the way they're going to be doing that is kind of similar to how the RTX graphics cards kind of do it right now, using DLSS, which is basically a deep learning super sampling, which allows them to basically take a very low resolution image and use AI to sharpen it and also kind of enhance the image altogether. Some modern games have been using it. Like, for example, I know Cyberpunk uses that. It looks nice. So it is a pretty cool technology. Along with that, there are some other rumors regarding the pricing. They're saying that the pricing on it is supposed to be about $349 to $399. It's supposed to be out sometime this year. But I'm wondering with the DLSS if that'll enable them to do, you know, be able to run some of these games that they haven't been able to run already. But we'll have to see. I mean, that's really kind of just talking about the dock right now. So, but that's all rumors.
I know. I'm getting so tired of these Switch Pro rumors. Like, Nintendo, read the room. Like, everybody is leaking this stuff left and right. Just give us something. Or I think they will in June. If they don't announce something by June, then I don't know what the hell's going on.
Yeah. And maybe April 1st.
Yeah, I wouldn't believe anything you read on the internet on April 1st. But now it's getting into this weird thing where, like, companies are actually doing things on April 1st, right? Like, Outriders is actually coming out April 1st. That's not a joke.
Well, it's a Friday, yeah. Friday release date, I think. Yeah. No, it's not Friday. That's a Thursday. Why is it coming out on Thursday?
I don't know.
That's a weird day.
Yeah.
Should be the 2nd.
So Wednesday is a holiday here in California, so which is the 31st. So I know April 1st is a Friday. So,
yeah.
All right. Anyway. Let's move on. Actually, Shane in chat says, I just want to see what exclusives look like on it. Yeah, that would be the Nintendo first party games, the limited Mario 3D All-Stars you can no longer buy, what it might look like. Bobby Blackwolf is also pointing out Friday is Good Friday, so that might be why. So maybe they don't want to release a game on Good Friday because there's, you know, people that are partaking in religious service that day. I don't know. Who knows? I wouldn't think it would be that many, but I guess so. All right. Let's move on to, another rumor of sorts, although this one is being backed by the Wall Street Journal, so there's probably some inside sources that are talking a little bit about this, and that is that Microsoft is apparently in talks to acquire Discord, and the price tag may set them back $10 billion. And the Wall Street Journal is going off of other reports from VentureBeat and Bloomberg. Apparently, these talks are being called advanced and exclusive and could result in a deal next month. However, it should be stated, nothing is set in stone. Apparently, there are other suitors out there as well. I have heard Amazon's name being thrown around as well, which, you know, as you know, owns Twitch TV. And there was another big one that was getting thrown around too. And Discord may just go public. As a company, because, you know, what fucking Roblox went public not that long ago. They've done pretty well for themselves. And there's been, you know, other entertainment gaming companies that have gone public and are doing pretty well. So Discord may go that direction. Microsoft is, according to Bloomberg, interested in looking at getting Discord as a place to talk for the communities that are using it, not just the gamers on Xbox Live. That is also kind of interesting to note, is that Microsoft may not be looking at this as just a gaming platform, but certainly what's happened during the pandemic, you've seen a lot of community growth on a place like Discord. And sure, that goes things for like video games and so forth. We have our own Discord here at VOG Network, cheap plug, vognetwork.com/Discord. But like D&D campaigns, which I suppose is also gaming. But then you also see other types of communities coming together through Discord. Although certainly gaming is a huge part of that as well. Loki, what do you think when you hear the news that Microsoft might acquire Discord? Because I could see mixed opinions here because, you know, Microsoft didn't really end up doing the Beam TV or Mixer so well. They ended up selling that. That didn't go really very far. But then they've also bought LinkedIn, GitHub, and everybody was screaming with GitHub that the sky is falling, and it hasn't really fallen yet. So let's say this is true, and Microsoft does opt to buy Discord. Do you think this is good for them, and what are they going to do with it?
I hope they don't integrated with Skype because that would suck. But other than that, I don't know.
I hope it's a replacement for Skype, quite frankly.
I'll worry about it when there's something to worry about.
That's true. That's very true. Dark Tatsuya in chat says, initially I was concerned, but after listening to Bobby tonight, I think I feel a little better about the situation, so maybe it won't be so bad. And Bobby went really in depth on this subject on his show tonight, and you know, he had kind of brought up some of those other examples about the websites that Microsoft bought that have done okay, and not everything is necessarily the sky is falling. I can see, though, where maybe something has to change when it comes to Discord. You know, where are they really making money right now? Off of those Nitro subscriptions that aren't really required? And how many people in those communities are really paying for those subscriptions? Probably not a ton. I pay for it because I want to boost the VOG network server because, you know, that should be something that, you know, we do to lift up the server. And Bobby got into this on this show. If VOG network as a business could just pay $20 a month or whatever to boost our server, we would do that. But we can't. So I have Discord Pro just because I use Discord a lot and I want to boost the VOG server to at least the next level. But where would Microsoft really make money? I think we would all be very upset if we saw them go up, like, to a place where Slack went, where you have to pay to have a server or you're going to start losing messages. You get really annoyed by all the prompts that start coming up. So I don't really see that happening either. And one thing that kind of occurred to me, and I was always really surprised by this. Do you remember when Discord launched a game store and then they tried to do their own Game Pass type of thing as well through Nitro? I was really surprised that didn't do so well because I thought it was a brilliant idea that Discord kind of stealth installed itself onto all of these systems and on your phone as, hey, this great free messaging app. But as we know, nothing's really free. So I thought by putting that store on there, that's how they were going to really make some money, was basically like they got something that people wanted to put on their computers, unlike when Steam first came out. If you guys remember when Steam first came out, people were pissed that you like had to have that to play. I think it was like Half-Life 2 at the time. So I really wouldn't be surprised if Microsoft does acquire Discord that they may try to do something with their store in it. But then they say they don't necessarily want it to be tied to gamers. But I would have a hard time believing they wouldn't try to sell some of their products directly there through the application and do some tie-ins there. Loki, how do you think Discord could be profitable?
I mean, integrating it with Game Pass would be good if they could, you know, if Microsoft does end up purchasing them. I don't know. I mean, I think definitely giving more power to the folks that have servers and allowing them to upgrade them however they need, you know, whether that be, you know, adding additional bandwidth to the video or, you know, other features that may be in there. I don't know. Does Discord have any sort of like searchability or ways to actually have like stuff displayed? Cause like, I know there's like billions of different, I mean, I can't imagine it's billions, but like probably several hundred thousand servers out there.
I think if you're like a Discord partner or affiliate or something that you apply for, you can get listed in some type of directory that they have. But not every server is by default in this directory. It's something that you kind of apply for. Now, Bobby Blackwolf in chat says, I still think they're going to try to make Discord with Xbox Party Chat. That would be pretty cool. You want me to take that one step further? Because here's where I tell you where a Microsoft and Discord partnership gets really fucking exciting. I'll give you an example that goes a step beyond that that just occurred to me. With Microsoft getting really into this cloud gaming thing, what if I could sit here in my home, Loki sits there in his home, and through Discord, now showing us a screen of the game we're playing, we're now playing a game online together through the cloud, thanks to Discord that's embedded in our community. And that streaming technology, which is the only thing Microsoft kept from their whole Beam acquisition. I mean, it's an awful lot of wishes, and gosh, I hope it goes the way I want it to, and maybe not enough reality check, but I don't know, Phil Spencer's pretty cool, but he won't be the head of Discord, sadly, and especially with Microsoft saying it's not all about gaming, I don't know, but I think that would be a pretty cool thing, to be frank, so...
Yeah,
we'll see. Now, a lot of people are bringing up Microsoft Teams. which is a little bit more of a direct Slack competitor, and people are wondering if there could be a merging here. I still see Teams as more of a professional type of thing, sort of like LinkedIn as a professional social network. I'm not sure that would fit the bill, but maybe Microsoft is totally okay having like your daytime your daytime chat app and your nighttime chat app.
I prefer Discord over Teams. Discord is much snappier than Teams. Teams feels very bloaty and heavy. I would prefer, if given the choice between using Teams or Discord, I would go Discord 100%.
Well, and then maybe that's something that Microsoft wants to get in on. I don't know. SG100 Matt says, regardless, we won't see the full effects of the purchase until 18 months after the sale, which will take a while. We will see. We will see. Bonds 006 says, if only they allow me to do that, as you said it, Rob. But right, yeah, I know. I'm doing a lot of wishful thinking. But I'm trying to also present some scenarios that I'd like to think are realistic without necessarily being doom and gloom. And that would be, oh, Microsoft buys something else just to close it. I still don't understand. Well, no, I do understand why they closed Mixer. They had a really hard time attracting the volume of the other places because, and it's just this simple, anybody that wants to go up against Twitch, take notes. If you don't have a way for your broadcasters to make money and they see a path to being able to make money and advertise and enable revenue on their streams and stuff, you're going to have a real hard time attracting talent. And that was the problem with Mixer, period. Now, some people preferred Mixer because as an Xbox-centric platform, it was a little easier to get noticed over there in a different type of community. So, you know, you can kind of stick out in a smaller community. And I respect that. And again, I have great friends who are broadcasting on Mixer and so forth. But the reality was Mixer was always going to lag behind Twitch because Twitch has a very easy path for their broadcasters. Not easy, but it's, you know what it is. You know what the rules are, and you have your little goals, and the goalposts is right there, and you know what you got to do, and it's achievable. Whereas, sure, Mixer had a path to partner. It wasn't an easy thing to do at all, especially on a smaller kind of network. The good news here is that, you know, if Microsoft buys Discord, there's nothing bigger than Discord right now. There really isn't. As far as nighttime chat apps and groups, you know, some may say, well, Slack is really a bigger thing. I think when it comes to these types of, you know, hobbyist, gaming hobbyist, arts and crafts hobbyists, and the things we've really relied on during the pandemic, Discord is the huge thing right now. And so it'll be really hard for Microsoft to fuck that up, but we'll see. All right.
At least it's not Google buying them.
Yeah, that's true. SG100 Matt in chat says, we talked a sec ago about Nintendo not reading the room. I think Microsoft is reading the room, and I feel like they will leave the gamer part of Discord alone and use it in other systems. We'll see. Bobby Blackwolf in chat says, at least it's not Facebook buying them. Well, you can say that again. All right.
Oh,
yeah, that'll be horrible. All right, let's move on. Loki.
All right. Well, speaking of playing games with other people, Steam had this this kind of hidden update that they did recently to their Remote Play Together. So Remote Play Together, if you may remember, was the way to basically invite a friend that may not own a game that you have on Steam to come play with you, kind of like couch co-op type of thing. Well, now they've updated it to where now not only can you invite someone that doesn't have the game, but you can also invite someone that doesn't have Steam installed on their computer. So it allows anybody to basically join you and play together remotely. Right now, there's about 1,000 games supporting it. Not everything supports it. Only the games that do support remote play together. But like I said, there's over thousands of games already that support this. So that's pretty amazing. Pretty neat feature to see what's going on. And they have a Steam sale right now. So, you know. Go check that out.
It's really funny that this story follows the Discord thing after that scenario I just proposed, because now here is Steam kind of doing that, but not with a community focus. I mean, sure, there are communities on Steam, like VOG has a community on Steam, but are people really using them? PlayStation had communities built into it, but was anyone really using it? No, so they closed it. That's what's making Discord so appealing. It has built communities in a way that no other gaming platform has been able to, that's for sure. And thanks to the pandemic, it's gone way beyond gaming. Sorry, I don't mean to completely go revert to the last story, but it's interesting that there is that similarity here about the whole, well, Steam is now allowing this whole playing together thing. It's a bummer they don't have the real community behind it besides the friend list to really push this forward.
Yeah. Yeah. That's still pretty cool, though, that they have that available. I don't know where I'd use that, but I have lots of games that probably support it.
Yeah. So, yeah, pretty cool feature, though, especially, you know, if your friends don't have Steam or maybe can't install Steam or whatever, a good way for them to look into that. All right. And I believe this is our last story that's slated for tonight. And this one's kind of a, oh, boy. You know, Crash Bandicoot 4 just came out. And since it's an Activision game, they use the Battle.net app, which is, you know, part of Blizzard, which is now part of Activision, right, to get Crash Bandicoot 4 out there. But something they weren't very forward with, Crash Bandicoot 4 requires always online. Crash Bandicoot 4, by the way, is a single-player game. And there is no multiplayer mode that I'm aware of in Crash Bandicoot 4. I don't think they added one in or anything like that. It is a single-player game, but yet you it requires an internet connection to play on PC, which most of the Battle.net games do, to be fair, but also the Battle.net games are almost all online. I would expect I have to be online to play World of Warcraft. I would expect to play StarCraft. I probably need to be online, especially if I'm going to play with other people. And this goes a step further. Now people are getting error messages. So like Diablo's infamous error 37. Yep, this is happening to people that are playing Crash Bandicoot 4. They can't log in to the game that the single player game that they purchased because Battle.net's having issues. Authentication servers are being overloaded, and this makes the game unplayable. Now, something else to say here. Why would they do this? Oh, well, to avoid piracy, right? They don't want people to pirate the game because then, you know, pirates wouldn't be able to get around this always online requirement. Guess what? Pirates have already gotten around this always online requirement. So now we have a case where the piracy version of the game is, in a way, superior to the actual version of the game.
That's how it always works.
Because it'll actually connect. The retail version of the game won't let you play it right now. Well, sometimes won't let you play it. Right this minute, I'm sure it's fine, but there were certainly issues during this week. Pirated version didn't have that problem. Oops. What was Activision thinking giving a single-player game always online DRM? Loki, any thoughts?
They just don't care. They're just trying to make all the money that they can. I don't know. Maybe they had... I can't imagine there's that many people, like, there'd be that much piracy with a Crash Bandicoot game like that, considering also that this version just came out. Like, I think the other versions have been out for a while now, so it's like, I don't know. It's silly, but now this just tarnishes.
This is embarrassing for a company that doesn't need any more embarrassment right now.
Exactly. It's not
that has not exactly been on an uptick lately.
And it's not even so much like that it's, you know, Crash Bandicoot 4 or anything. It's just, it's always going to be like, people are now going to second guess any Activision games that come to PC. Is this going to be always online?
Especially Battle.net.
Is this one going to be always online? You know, it's like, it's just, it's not good. But they
now,
don't care because they're going to make money.
It is worth saying, Diablo 2 Resurrected is on many people's radar, right? Because that is something that Blizzard announced that got people excited. It will be on the Battle.net app. Blizzard did say that this Diablo 2 Resurrected is playable offline. It will not require the always online connection, which you may recall was a very controversial part of Diablo 3 when it first came out. But I digress. This Diablo 2 remaster, and the way Blizzard's really explained this is that they really are putting an HD shell over their old game. So in a way, it kind of doesn't surprise me. But yeah, it will. They have explicitly said, and maybe that's still the part of Blizzard that's cool versus the part of Activision that's never been cool. So maybe that's kind of that coming to head. I don't know.
Maybe.
Fat Ninja DM in chat over twitch.tv/VogNetwork says, that's the problem. They weren't thinking. Dart Satsuya says, does Battle.net have any other single-player stuff? I mean, I can understand the DRM for the other multiplayer games since you need net anyway, but that does seem a bit extreme. One could argue that Diablo 3 doesn't have to be online. You can play it single-player mode. I guess the same would be true of StarCraft, quite frankly. Although certainly the Blizzard games are usually more inclined to be, you know, player versus, you know, online and all that. Their recent arcade collection, though, that just came out when they did their virtual BlizzCon, that shouldn't need to be online. I don't know if it is or not. I haven't looked. Bobby Blackwolf in chat says they might have tried to, but some extensive stat tracking in Crash 4 that requires a connection to the home server, which is a terrible idea. But I know a lot of games do keep track of how you play and phone home the anonymized stats of your PlayStation play session. So, all right, let's move on. That's it for stories. We're going to get to the listener roundtable. If you have some other comments or questions for us in chat, get them out there. Otherwise, I'm going to go to the mailbag because I know we have at least one email tonight that I saw come through. Loki, I don't have the email up right now. So do you have any last minute stories for us?
I don't, unfortunately. You know, wasn't a whole ton going on this week, but yeah, I'm just still waiting for more game announcements and the death of Mario. Maybe, you know, next week.
We do have a comment in our chat.
This week, actually.
We do have a comment in chat from Ice P1 who says, "Looks like Eve Online will be allowing playing straight in the browser in the future." EveOnline.com if you want more information. So there's no install needed. In other news, work productivity drops. And Bobby Blackwolf cracks the joke about it's pretty easy to do spreadsheets in a browser because some people have called Eve Online like a spreadsheets game, although obviously there are more intricacies than that. But that's pretty cool about playing in a browser because, I mean, when you think about what was one of the big things that Google Stadia was pitching, you're going to be able to stream games from the cloud in the browser. So it's interesting that some games are kind of implementing this in their own way without needing a Google Stadia. Do you think we'll see more companies kind of do that? Kind of just do their own cloud gaming thing because they don't really trust the other companies to do it?
I don't know if it's necessarily they don't trust the other companies to do it. It's because certain...
Well, I should also say this isn't...
Certain companies are locking down their app stores so that they have to create browser-based...
And I also want to be very clear, this Eve thing, I don't think is actually a cloud thing. It's just playable in your browser. So I do want to be clear.
Yeah, I mean, because they're kind of forced to do that, you know, to get around certain restrictions with Apple in their app stores. Mm. So, yeah, I could see them doing that.
All right. I got our email up. So we do have one email tonight. If you want to send emails, participate@orangeloungeradio.com is the place to send emails. Tonight's email is Frodo Swaggins, who writes, "Hey all, super short email. I'm a podcast listener. The game It Takes Two just came out. OMG, it's super cute and fun. I've never seen a cooperative game like this before. I can't sit it down. I'm not going to review it here." You kind of did, but that's okay. You gave it a positive thing, but that's all right. We appreciate the feedback. I'm not going to review it here, but I hope if you haven't already, grab a friend and try it out. I have to make sense. I haven't played It Takes Two. I've seen it because I think it's on Game Pass. Have you played this at all?
I have not.
Chat, help us out. Anybody playing It Takes Two, like our emailer tonight? I'm curious what your thoughts are on It Takes Two. Maybe someone in chat has played. Thank you. You know what? You can host next week's show. How about that? All right. I'm just teasing. Also, I noticed you don't take live calls anymore in the green room. I've been meaning to ask how come. And that is from Frodo Swaggins in Portland, Oregon. Well, hello, Portland. I haven't been in about 11 years now. I really need to get back to Portland. So why don't we take calls on Discord anymore? It's because of the remote broadcasting versus when we were all in the same studio. We're kind of not set up for it the same way. I probably could do some presto change-o and change some things and have the other person. But the thing we've noticed when we've done some guest appearances and things is that when we have more people on Discord, the frame lag starts to come in and the show starts to have some technical issues behind the scenes. So just basically, long story short, technically the bandwidth hasn't really worked out because we've been using all the Discord stuff so that we can tape remotely and still do our show. The good news is Loki's vaccinated, I'm vaccinated, Dark Sakura's vaccinated, getting there. We've started the pro. Well, Loki's closer than any of us having the one and done shot, but we're all in that process right now. So feasibly, in a few weeks, we can look at maybe returning to the studio if everybody feels comfortable with that. However, I do have the issue where somebody else who lives here has still not been able to get vaccinated. However, California said by April 15th, that will be... the long issue. So my hope is, and I'm just going to throw this out there. I haven't talked to Loki about it. I haven't talked to Dark Soccer about it. My hope is June, specifically June 23rd, and whatever Sunday is closest to that, I haven't looked at. That day, I think we may make a decision. That would be a great day for us to come back together. We will all be fully vaccinated by that point. I think it will just be a matter of where is COVID at in the world. Technically, we could probably actually do it before June. I'm just saying that's a very nice day, right, Loki? That would be a nice day to be back together again. Would be on our anniversary, right? We are starting over. I think would be a good little tagline. Where have I heard that before? That would be a good little tagline for our show. That just depends on, you know, COVID and how all that's going. CDC has said vaccinated people can hang out together without masks. By that date in June, we will well be vaccinated without masks. I think the whole decision is, you know, is COVID still threatening the variants and all of that, I think, is the factor we still have to figure out. Bobby Blackwolf says the 23rd is a Wednesday. How convenient. So June 20th or 27th. Fine. I will opt for the earlier day and do the 20th and say that right now on paper, that's the day I really want us to be able to come back into studio. Maybe sooner. We might just do May if things seem like it's going to work that way. So anyway, I know that's kind of a long-winded question that went a little tangentially from what you had really asked, Frodo Swaggins. But I guess my answer is it's not going to be that way much longer because I really want us to be back all in the same studio the way we used to do it. That would be great. And that's that. See other comments in chat. S. Joe and Hunter Matt says maybe early summer. Yeah, who knows? I just like that June date because it's nice. But I suppose we could always do the end of May, which is technically when the Live 365 station started. Because remember, we were running that station for about a month before we actually started our show. So I don't know. We'll see. Tiger Claw says tomorrow they're going to allow people 40 years and older to be vaccinated. That just depends on where you live. So our show's based in California, Sacramento to be exact. I think you guys know that. I've said that a lot of times on the show. Here in the state of California, 50 and over will be able to be vaccinated on April 1st. And then everybody else on April 15th. So, but again, the three hosts are already vaccinated. Alan is the only one who can't get his Kaiser appointment to get it done. The system won't let him do it yet. Bobby Blackwell says June 1st is Vogue's birthday. So yeah, there's other dates that make sense. So just so you know where my brain is at, I'm hoping in the next couple months we finally are able to come together again. And I think that'll be a very nice thing. So we'll see. All right. And we didn't have any last minute stories, right? So I think we are towards the end of the show. One more shout out for the mailbag. Participate at orangeloungeradio.com. That brings us towards the end of the show. Thank you guys for listening to the show tonight. I know it was a little rough live with the technical hiccups, but you guys are awesome and you stuck with it anyway. Thank you so much for that. Podcast listeners, there may be a little delay. You might not get the show right at the same time you usually do. Just know it's because I had to kind of stitch some things together. Tonight's going to be a little bit of a Frankenstein episode, but these things happen. Thank you as well, podcast folks, for being here and being with us every week. We appreciate that. Emails, tweets at OLR, all the ways you want to interact with us. We really appreciate that. If you enjoyed what you heard here at Orange Lodge Radio, tell a friend or two about the show. Help us spread the word because we are the show where every gamer has a voice. But if the voices aren't here to put out on air, what else are we going to be able to do? So yes, please, please help us spread the word. That would be very appreciated. What else was I going to say with all that? Discord. I guess I've plugged that a lot tonight. VogNetwork.com/Discord. If you feel so generous and you want to buy some merchandise, we do have a shop available, vognetwork.com/shop, if you are so inclined. With that, I think we can get to final thoughts. I think that's all the plugs I'm supposed to give at the end of the show. Thank you to Alan once again for filling in last minute. Thank you, chat room, for being patient tonight through all the tech hiccups and always being a great support of the show. Loki, I will send it to you for your final thought.
My final thought is I'm gonna try to work more on my game. I mean, it's already almost to the point where I could probably put it out physically, but just want to cram some more stuff in there.
All right. And my final thought is I'm gonna work on being a better killer. I sure am. In Dead by Daylight, of course. And I still have some additional things for VOG floating around in my head, and I hope I get my ass in gear to do that real soon. There's just a lot of other stuff going on personally too, but things are looking bright over the next couple months. Hang in there. We're almost to the end of this pandemic, but get your vax when you can. Keep masking up. Stay safe. We're going to get there, damn it. I want a convention again. All right. Have a good night, everybody. We'll see you next week.
You've been listening to Orange Lounge Radio. Orange Lounge Radio is a production of OLR Studios. To join us for a live show, tune into VOGNetwork.com Sunday nights at 6 p.m. Pacific, 9 p.m. Eastern. The views and opinions expressed in this program do not necessarily reflect those of the staff of Orange Lounge Radio or VOG Network, but you know they were all still true. See you next week.